Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It is the deep dive. I'm joined by Josh Williams for this one, and we are collectively saying, what on earth are Liverpool thinking? Obviously, the news broke last week. David Lynch did a piece about it for thisisanfield.com. We've spoken to Neil Jones, who doesn't seem to think that Liverpool are really in for Andre either. We've spoken to journalists over in Brazil here at Red Men TV, and they say that they are, but Liverpool are now basically saying to their journalists that they're not in for him. Me and Josh, you were on holiday last week, probably pulling your hair out. I was in here pulling my hair out. What the hell are Liverpool doing, type of thing? First thoughts?
Yeah, a bit surprised.
Just a bit?
Well, literally the last deep dive I did was with Dan, saying Andre's great. So that it didn't bode well for that, to be honest. But yeah, I expected us to chase him. Not necessarily because he's what we need, but because he's what we will not have when Thiago goes. So I figured like Klopp was almost rebuilding the midfield with the same with similar profiles as what he had previously, using different individuals. And if he wants a controller, this was your man. And we're going to touch on how he is that in a minute. But if you want that kind of player, I thought this lad was perfect for it, and he was going to cost a decent price and stuff. But the tables have turned a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, I suppose they have. And I suppose let's do why we like Andre first. And, you know, you mentioned that deep dive that you did a couple of weeks ago, so we won't labour on it, but we've got a couple of graphics from that deep dive which would explain to any new viewers why we thought Andre was so good.
Yeah, so these are from a few weeks ago, so apologies for whoever's already seen it. But in terms of, like, the player that Andre is in the numbers, he looks like your signature controller, your signature conductor of moves. He'll slow the game down for you. He'll dictate things and stuff like that. And you can see that in the numbers. So this is the first one. And this is just the Brazilian Serie A this season. Midfielders only. And everyone on that graphic has played a minimum of 900 minutes. And as you can see, in terms of touches per 90, Andre is comfortably at the top of the league. The only lad who's anywhere near him is a lad called Gabriel Neves, who I've never heard of. Don't know about you. But other than that, there's quite a significant gap between the next player, you know, averaging like 90 touches per 90, which is a lot for any player, really.
Especially as an average, you see it in one-off games.
That's what I mean.
The big thing about that graph for me, Josh, and it's completely irrelevant to the conversation, is I just thought every Brazilian had one name. There seems to be a lot of lads there with two names. Like, did he just shorten it when they get big and good, or what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Some of them are great names, though, aren't they? You've got an Alisson in there as well.
Yeah.
Tina.
Yeah. Maicon.
Yeah, yeah. Ganso. That rings a bell. I think he's a teammate, actually.
At this point, we're just reading names, but Fausto Vera. I mean, he sounds like he'd be great.
Yeah, some of these sound like superheroes, mate, to be honest.
Eric Pulgar, that doesn't sound Brazilian, does it?
What does that say there? Is that Ale?
Ale.
I mean, that's a great name.
He's on it.
Yeah, he's on it there. If we move on, though, to, like, another element of Andre's game, this is his pass completion on one axis and his progressive passes per 90 on the other axis, just to kind of capture what he does on the ball. And as you can see, again, compared to the same players, nobody gives the ball away less than him. I think his pass completion is about 94%, which is ridiculous. And in terms of moving the ball forward, he's fairly progressive as well, yeah. So that was kind of the player that I painted with Dan a couple of weeks ago as, like, this conductor, similar to Thiago, who's always on the ball, never loses it, lots of touches, very dominant. Liverpool are losing Thiago at the end of the season, probably. So I figured, even though he's not like a destroyer, he's not like a Fabinho or anything like that, or like a Decore that we were linked with, or a Pellini or anything like that, but he gives you control, basically. Mm-hmm. And Liverpool have been moving towards that midfield dynamic where everyone in the midfield department just basically kills you by keeping the ball. Let's just keep balling. Like, very Guardiola, to be honest. Yeah. And I figured we were moving towards that, but maybe not.
Well, I suppose this is the thing. I mean, let's take it back now, move away from Andre and think of... I suppose this is a bit of a think piece to try and understand what Liverpool are doing more than anything.
Yeah.
To try and come up with some theories as to why Liverpool might have dropped interest in Andre, if that is indeed what they've done. Like, I think back, I was talking to Dan about this yesterday, I was thinking back to, you know, Jude Bellingham. And when Liverpool said, listen, we're not in for Jude Bellingham, there was an understanding that it was too much money and there was too much to be done in the squad. And for one player, we could get three players in. Whether you agreed or you disagreed with that sentiment, you could understand the thought.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Our midfield's really shit. Yeah. We do need three players. Yeah. One might not be enough, so get three players in rather than one. I can understand that. For me, it feels different because this is a lad we've supposed to have been after for months and months now, and yet nothing's really changed. We haven't said, you know, we've got the money, I think, to buy him. His price isn't outrageous.
That's the curious thing for me, yeah. The rumoured fee, you're chatting like 20, 30 million. Which Premier League terms is not very much at all.
For a 22-year-old as well.
Yeah, and I think there's kind of shades of Enzo Fernandez in there as well before he moved to Benfica. When he was in, I think it was River. Was it River or Bottle
Room
that he played for? I think it was River, but I might be wrong on that. But when he was over there, he was kind of really shining to the extent where Benfica brought him over. Then he ends up going to Chelsea for 100 million as this real midfield conductor, basically. Who moves the ball forward a lot, really reliable and gives you a real foothold in the middle of the park. Andre looks relatively similar in many ways, really, as like currently playing in South America, only 22 years old, recently became an international for Brazil. And Liverpool looked like they were kind of cutting a corner to get him in before he makes that kind of £100 million move to the Premier League or whatever. So price-wise, it looked like we were maybe doing a bit of a Brighton and going to source, but again, maybe not.
But the bad thing is with the Brighton stuff, and obviously Alexis McAllister came from, well, I think it was Boca for him, wasn't it? Maybe, or I can't remember now.
He came from Argentinos Juniors.
Yes, that's right.
And he spent time on loan at Boca.
That's right.
I know that one.
So, in terms of that, you know, it's a small fee for Alexis McAllister. Obviously, we've brought Nunes over, who's come through Portugal. We've brought Diaz over, who's come through Portugal as well. So this is, you know, you could understand Liverpool going, well, actually, let's go and get it at source. But the prices that we're talking about from Brazil is actually a lot higher than the prices that the other teams have brought them over for. You know, yeah. You might have been able to get all three of them for 10 million quid, for example.
Yeah.
Those players that I mentioned, whereas, you know, Andre would be 20, 30 million pounds. I suppose one of the other rumours is that Liverpool don't want to hinder the progress of Stefan Bajcetic.
Mm.
And I kind of get that. I do. But also, I kind of thought that Ender was brought in because there was a concern over Bajcetic's injury and him not being able to be used before the new year. And I said this on shows right at the start of the season, that I actually thought that Endo might have been the Bajcetic replacement because his injury might be worse than we first feared, or it might not heal. But this is a lad that's been out for 8 months, and so to hinder his development, you'd get that, but he's actually spent more time out of the first team than in the first team, and I don't want us to not sign someone in case, and I love Bajcetic, but in case he's an injury-prone player.
Yeah, he's like, still a teenager as well. Like, he's literally a teenager, Bajcetic. Andre, for me as well, is a slightly different type of player. I think if everything goes according to plan for Bajcetic, I know he's thrived at times as an eight, but in this system, for me, he's not an eight, because the eight is expected to do that and play close to the final third. I don't see Bajcetic doing that. I think if everything goes according to plan for Bajcetic over the next couple of years, peak, I think he could be a lone six person, a bit like a Rodri, or a bit like a kind of a version of a Busquets almost. That iteration of player. Whereas we've just established already that Andre is a bit more of a controlling type, maybe suited to playing as part of a two. If we're going back to the original Liverpool midfield makeup where he was a three, Andre wouldn't be playing where Fabinho was. Andre would be playing where Wijnaldum played, where Thiago played, as like that kind of left-sided controller type. So I think there's a, I think the two could coexist, but maybe the kind of desire to not get in Bissetti's waste that just stems from bodies, just having too many midfielders in there, where once Bissetti gets fit again, where does he get minutes? And if Andre's added to the mix again, that's just another player for him to compete with, even though he's different.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, but then I suppose you would have to say that, well, I know Thiago's not involved in this conversation because he's injured as well, but there's a body, we're a body down from Thiago.
Yeah.
At the end of this season when he probably leaves Liverpool and there is a space for the player. I mean, just thinking about, you know, Andre specifically again, you know, we've always said that he's more than just a destroyer and he's not a destroyer. He's more that controller type of a player. But, you know, is there anything with Andre where you look at maybe what Arsenal are doing in the big games? And this is something I said on last week's deep dives, is Arsenal during the big games this season, your Manchester City's, your Chelsea's, you know, they're big rivals, they've played Jorginho there and moved Declan Rice there. And the other way around, they've switched them for the games where they're supposed to beat them, they throw Declan Rice in. Now, in some ways, I don't know why I switched those magnets, that was pointless, wasn't it? Both just red magnets. But in some ways, that's sort of the anti what you would do, because Jorginho's a controller, not a destroyer. He's not a defensive midfielder like a Makelele or anything, and yet they've put him in those big games.
Yeah,
because they want the controller in those games. Now, I thought that was quite interesting, and maybe something that Liverpool would be moving towards is that, like, it doesn't really matter. We don't actually want a destroyer, but with him not being linked and the form so far of McAllister in the six and Endo in the six, maybe Liverpool think, actually, we kind of do need a destroyer.
Well, again, going back to it, like, if you look at the kind of midfield as like a full department, you just want every different type of player in there, ideally. And we've got like certain boxes ticked now based on what we've already got in, but we're still lacking a destroyer because we've lost Fabinho. We haven't got that kind of player who will just naturally be a dog and win the ball for you all the time and stuff like that. So we're still lacking that. And in terms of the control, we've got him at the minute in Thiago, but he's never playing and he's going to leave the club at the end of the season. So we're going to need a controller as well. Would you say McAllister, is that?
Well, this is kind of the thing, is that McAllister, I think there's two conversations. So there's one around McAllister and there's one of Endo. And McAllister does fall into the controller category.
Yeah.
And my ish, and I, again, we've kind of spoken about him a lot, but maybe not with you so much. It's always interesting to get your thoughts on it. But I don't think McAllister's as bad defensively as people say. I think there are clear elements in his game that need improvement. And for me, that's defending in transition. That's where I think he needs to improve. I think in his general when everyone's in a block and they've managed to get back and all that type of stuff, he's fine. He's a good tackler. Actually, yeah. if nothing else, his positioning's really good. He intercepts the ball a lot. His tackles and interceptions over the course of this season so far have been really high, much better than his peers in some cases.
We touched on that, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I did that last week on the deep dive as well, and we touched on it a few weeks ago. But the defending in the transition is where I think we have a problem, and that's not just McAllister. Mm. I think that's a team thing at the moment. Like, I think Fabinho was excellent at that.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was where why he was our defensive midfielder for so long. He was brilliant at it. I think when you then talk about Endo, maybe Josh. Endo, there's a school of thought that he could just be learning the role like Fabinho did. But my argument to that would be, that's great, I understand that, but he's 30 years old. How long is he actually going to be doing it for? Us four?
Yeah.
If he's learning. That
was my thought reason. I've seen the piece saying he's just doing what Fabinho was doing, where he's getting to grips with it behind the scenes, and he's going to end up making a claim for a starting spot. But that was my first thought. I was like, yeah, but he's 30 though. Like, if he finally gets to grips with it around Christmas, great. But like, he's already 30, so he's already not the player he was. So even if he gets to grips with it tactically, like in his head and stuff like that, familiarity with the role, Premier League, he still can't run comparisons to the player he was 3 years ago. So I thought that was a weird narrative personally, yeah.
On the McAllister one then, sorry to interrupt Josh.
No, go on.
On the McAllister one, is there a thing where Liverpool have looked at it and gone, we actually really like him as that six?
Yeah.
And we don't need a replacement. Could that just be the simple answer?
Yeah.
Because now with Gravenberch and Szoboszlai and Kurt Jones, do you need McAllister further up the pitch? And did he play well further up the pitch when he got his opportunity last week anyway?
Yeah, I think it's just, we all kind of want that destructive player though, don't we, in the box? Like, if you think of the way it works, again, I think of the four players occupying them roles are.
Trent.
Like, you've got Trent there, literally the most offensively creative fullback the Premier League's ever seen, really. Then you've got Szoboszlai, who has plenty of experience throughout his career as a forward, and he's playing there. Similar with Jones, in the sense of also has experience as a forward, very attack-minded, but he is fairly well-rounded, to be fair, and so is Szoboszlai. And then you've got McAllister, who has spent a fair majority of his career as a number 10. So it's just such an attacking formation of four.
And you've got Gravenberch as well,
yeah,
who's never met Alisson. Doesn't know where our goal is.
Yeah, yeah.
He only knows where their goal is because his first touch is towards it every single time.
Yeah. Harvey Elliott, another one. Experience as a forward when he went on Blackburn on loan. He played really well as Mo Salah for them, basically. Yeah. So we don't really have anyone who's like, hang on a minute, what's going to happen if we lose the ball here? And even McAllister at times, I have felt on the ball, he's thought, I'll try that. And he's tried it, it's been intercepted. It's been on him to then intercept the ball and regain it, and he can't do it as well as Fabinho did in transition. So, I don't know, it's interesting. I think Andre, I said, would have come in and been very like McAllister has been, but he would have been more reliable on the ball and lost it less and tried less, just because he's not as much of a name up in lights player. But if we're not getting him, it'll be interesting to see whether the long-term plan is just McAllister plays there, or if we're going to get into some form of like destructive player like a Florentino Luiz or someone like that.
I suppose the other thing in all of this is, we could say maybe Liverpool think McAllister's the long-term plan, but we kind of heard rumblings of McAllister's doing it because he has to, not because he wants to. Like, we've heard those sort of rumours, haven't we, over the last few months, that he's doing a job for the team, but he can't wait to get back in his natural position. That doesn't sound like this is the long-term plan for this player, or at least McAllister's not agreed for this being the long-term plan.
Yeah, but I think the only issue, though, is if you was to play, say you was to sign Rodri and play Rodri there, you do have like almost too much competition for the eights. When you think about it, like, especially if we get knocked out of a domestic cup, which is entirely possible, like in a normal season, you have a ton of competition for them spots. Like, you've got Elliott, Gravenberch, Jones, Szoboszlai, McAllister, that's a where's Bissetic going to play when he comes back? You've got Endo wanting
Thiago,
to get minutes.
Gakpo.
Yeah. Gakpo, in our last deep dive, we literally talked about Gakpo playing as number 8. Thiago, I forgot about, yeah, so it's a ton of players.
We've probably still got Keita somewhere.
Yeah, I know, yeah. we've got a ton of players, mate, for the 8, so maybe it's to do with that. Did you see Ian Graham's recent interview, though?
No.
He did an interview recently, and obviously he's left the club now, but one of his interesting takes in the interview was, from like a data perspective, one of the things he'd like to try if he was a coach is just playing more attackers. Like just playing as many attackers as possible, even if they're like here and here, and finding a way to get them to behave as a collective, but not playing like a Paul Konchesky because he's a fullback, you know, just finding a way to play a load of attackers.
Isn't that what Newcastle did in the 90s under Kevin Keegan? He could quite easily just go back and check that side and how they did.
Yeah, I know. But it is kind of what we're doing now, though.
It is, yeah.
And I've touched on it as, like, it doesn't make sense. Because, in a way, it doesn't. But, mate, we're 1 point behind Man City. And that's with a team of attackers, really. And maybe this is just kind of Liverpool's way of doing it now, where we just want to play... We want to be as offensive as possible, profile-wise, and it's not really hurting us as much as many of us thought it would.
No, it's definitely not, is it? And I suppose, like, look, maybe moving it on again, you know, maybe there is an understanding that Liverpool don't need a controller because they've got McAllister. Mm. Liverpool don't need eights, so where would Andre fit in? What is the gaping hole? The gaping hole is a destroyer. Do we need a destroyer that's going to be a first-teamer every single game, or do we need a destroyer that's going to be able to come in and spell controllers?
Mm.
You know, and if that's the case, then do we have Endo for that already?
Well, maybe the plan will just be kind of like what we've been doing so far, with McAllister primarily starting there, Endo getting to grips with it a bit more and playing a bit more of a prominent role once he's got to grips with it, and maybe seeing out his contract at Liverpool. And I think maybe it could be a case of, like, the next windows, maybe we look at the defensive department and we don't return to the midfield until Endo, is he 30? Maybe we don't return to the midfield to find that destroyer until he's like 32 or something like that. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the market. We established a couple of months ago that the whole midfield market, the destroyers, it's a dead market. There's not much out there.
Actually not that many teams playing with full-on destroyers anymore, is there?
No. And you could argue if we did, maybe we'd have fewer points. It's arguable, because we'd have less of an offensive threat.
I mean, and currently we're the joint best defence in the league.
Which is mad, by the way. You see that? See that this week? I think that's crazy. I checked it and I was like, hang on, so despite the narrative, Liverpool have conceded the joint fewest goals in the Premier League, two fewer than Manchester City, who have, like, flawless, perfect balance. It's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but they conceded 4 at the weekend, otherwise it wouldn't have been there. Yeah, it was the weekend, wasn't it? I suppose there was another thing I wanted to just briefly touch upon before we maybe wrap up. There was an article on Liverpool.com. It was Ben Boxack, is that how you say it?
Oh, I should know. He's a colleague, mate, yeah. I should know him, but I think it's Bozak or something.
Bozak.
I might be wrong.
I hope you're wrong.
Listen.
He's your mate.
Yeah.
If you tell me it's Bozak.
Let's just call him Soboslai, mate, because he's Hungarian, isn't he? So.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, yeah. Big Ben wrote an article on Liverpool.com a few days ago. And he said that Fabinho, we need a Fabinho, so that destroyer type of thing, not a McAllister. And therefore, Andre's not the right guy. He sees him more similar to McAllister than Fabinho, which I think we've kind of just said as well.
Mm.
He also said it made sense in the summer that we were scrambling around for a player and wanted Andre. But given more time, he thinks we'd be better off finding the perfect solution. Do you agree or disagree with your colleague?
To Fabinho solution.
To us spending the time and getting the right player and not rushing into Andre.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's kind of what I've just mentioned in terms of, like, maybe Endo will just occupy the spot with McAllister for, like... I mean, we've kind of painted a kind of situation where that will only be for a season, or even for 6 months if we can get someone in January. But I think it could be longer. I don't think Liverpool will sign a player to upgrade on him immediately, inside 12 months. I think Endo could be around this spot for about two seasons with McAllister until Liverpool find the next great DM. Because as we've said, the current market is not great for that, and you don't just want to go and sign just someone from the middle of the table because he's a DM, when in reality he's just not that great. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm in favour of him. Yeah.
Okay, and then I suppose the last thing before we get into some of the comments and stuff would be, if you were in charge of Liverpool Football Club, would you be signing Andre?
It's a difficult one because I can see the logic for and against it. I do think we need a controlling type of player. That's because we're not going to have one. Mm-hmm. When Thiago leaves, you could argue McAllister's taken up that spot, that mantle. I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't really think we need many more number eight as we stand. Bessetis is still to come back, and you do want space for him. So I can see both sides. I think Andre looks great, and he looks like he could come to Europe and make a real impact. But maybe he is just being regarded as too similar to McAllister to be worth signing. But it will be annoying if he goes to somewhere like a Porto or a
and
Brighton
then signing for 100 million.
And does really well, yeah. That'll be annoying.
So would you?
I thought I'd skated around that one.
Yeah, but we're not the fucking Tory party. We have to answer questions on the show.
Obsessed with the Tories today.
I fucking hate the Tories.
Second time, no. Yeah, I'd like us to get him, yeah.
Okay, I'd definitely sign Andre for what it's worth. I think we still might. I think there might be something to do with gamesmanship here. Mm. Because, you know, the Brazilian journalist is saying he wants to come to the Premier League. Stuff, yeah. Liverpool, there might be something here where Liverpool have gone, well, hang on a minute, we told you 6 months ago we wouldn't unsettle the player if you agree on selling him at that price. And then all of a sudden, they're leaking out the Fulham, putting a bid in a tyre, and there's a sell-on clause, and all this type of stuff. And Liverpool will be like, the fuck, lads?
Yeah.
We shook on this type of thing. Yeah. Like, do you think there's a little bit of gamesmanship in there?
Possibly, and you've got to bear in mind, they've just won the Copa Libertadores, so maybe there's a bit of like a bit of an ego boost in there, where they're thinking, like, we can fleece Liverpool, when in reality, Liverpool probably aren't going to let that happen. We don't need this player as much as we needed midfield reinforcement 6 months ago, so we probably are in a position now compared to before where we can just say, you know what, if you're trying to take us to the cleaners, we'll swerve it then.
What would you feel like if Fulham signed him?
Weird.
What would you feel like if Fulham signed him and we bought Polina?
That would be funny, yeah. But I think Polina's slightly moved past it, hasn't he?
I think so. I mean, yeah, he was literally in an airport, gutted on deadline day, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I think we know where he's going.
But I'd be interested to see him in the Premier League, though. I would expect it to be Brighton, though, rather than Fulham, just because I expect Brighton to do this sort of thing nowadays. But, yeah, okay. I don't know. It's ones are watching.
We had a super chat here from Robin Hood, who was taken from the rich and given to the poor. Thank you so much. McAllister doesn't have the pace, physicality, or defensive mindset to be a six and never will. Our system requires a specialist DM, so we need one ASAP. I suppose on that one, it's kind of what we were talking about before. I'm not 100% certain that we do need a specialist DM.
Andre isn't that though, by the way.
And Andre's not that young.
Andre's
right.
Not a specialist DM, and he's not particularly physical. He's about the same height as McAllister. He's about the same build as him. He's not your absolute monster, horrible DM. So if people think he's that, he's not.
Yeah, no, he's not. But I suppose he's talking about McAllister as well, though. But
yeah.
It is interesting, isn't it, of course? So yeah, we've had a few more comments in here. Let's have a little look at some of them. Don't be worried about Endo getting minutes, probably back in Germany next year anyway, says Jerry Ten, who clearly isn't a fan, which is quite amusing as well, to be fair.
I just can't see Liverpool ever doing that, having a player for a year and then getting rid of him. I mean, I think he was...
wasn't there, Ben Davies, who made his first appearance at Anfield for Rangers.
Yeah, but that he was like 500 grand, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, so...
Which is mad, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, we had it with Fabio Carvalho as well, didn't we, a little bit? But I think that was because of, turbulence behind the scenes, maybe you can say.
Yeah. Henry Hale says Andre will end up at Benfica or Porto for sure. And Cosmic Wanderer just says cheap minge bag owners. So yeah, there you go. That has been the deep dive for today. We've got another one called The Curious Case of Cody Gakpo. That's out on redmenplus.com now. If you want to go over and check it out, it will give you 2 months for 50% off as a monthly captain using the code DEEP. was easy to remember, wasn't it? Josh, thank you so much for joining me again. Absolute pleasure as always. Liverpool, pull your finger out and sign Andre. Can't be talking about a fella for 6 months and not sign him. A la Bellingham, a la Andre, a la, this has happened loads over the years. It unfortunately does happen. Thank you so much to everyone who's joined us live. Don't forget to like the video and I'll see you next time. Ciao.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.